Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everybody and welcome to episode 116 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. I am with my co-host, Mr. Kelvin Newman.
Hello everybody.
And today, Kelvin, are we not, discussing some thoughts from the Brighton SEO event?
Yeah, now a lot of you might remember I mentioned a little while ago a conference come event that I was organising. It took place on the 1st of April here in Brighton. And basically it was a search marketing conference attended by and spoken, you know, some of the speakers there were some of the best people in the world of internet marketing in the UK. And what I know a lot of you wouldn't have been able to come along because you're in the States, you're in Canada, you're in Australia or just in other parts of the UK, so wouldn't have been able to make it down to the event. And I just wanted to talk about some of the key takeaways. We're actually going to, I think, in the next episode, take one of the talks in its entirety from Brighton SEO, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I wanted to talk about kind of some of the key takeaways. I mean, you were there on the day, Andy. Did you enjoy it? Was it a good day
for everyone? I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I was highly impressed, I have to say. I was highly impressed with both the organisation and your hosting and presentation skills, Kelvin. That's second to none.
Yeah, I'm very much a cross between Annika Rice and Bruce Forsyth for anyone in the UK who knows those two.
No, he was great. He was just walking around all confidently with the mic, you know, being a really good host.
Well, it was good fun anyway, but no, it really was. And I mean, so the talks over the day covered a huge variety of topics, but there was one real sort of underlying theme that a lot of us took away from the day, which was the kind of concept of SEO growing up and having to take a bit more responsibility for its actions and being a little bit more mature. Mm. There were sort of two panel debates at the beginning and the end of the day.
They were juicy.
Which were very juicy indeed, and, you know, very strong opinions being shared by the people on the panel and the people on the audience. But the real trend seemed to be from the people who were discussing it and from the response I got from the people in the audience is that search marketers, we talk a lot about ourselves. We talk a lot about the difference between black hat and white hat and, you know, what's ethical and what's not ethical and, you know, various, you know, details of what search is about. But really, at the end of the day, search, whether it's, you know, whatever your opinion is on the future of SEO, the fact is the people who are practicing it need to get a little bit more mature in their approach to marketing and try and understand how what they do fits in and can complement other marketing efforts. So like PR, for example, PR can be a lot more effective if you understand search. So there's no reason for, you know, people from PR agencies and people from SEO agencies to be fighting each other over, you know, various bits of work. What they ought to be doing is just trying to, you know, work together and, you know, deliver better work for their clients or better work for their employees if they're working in-house. And just, yeah, kind of understanding more general marketing. I mean, my, you know, opinion is that I think that search marketers probably should spend a little bit less time trying to work out what the next trick is to, you know, do better in Google or trying to work out necessarily how to code something a little bit better. Instead, what they should be doing is kind of understanding things like psychology, like, you know, behavioral economics and, you know, understanding, you know, traditional marketing. Why does advertising work? How do you make something creative that people want to talk about? Because, you know, that's going to make the big difference there as well.
I particularly found it's interesting there, Kelvin, nearly forgot your name then, Kelvin. How could I possibly do that? But I was particularly interested in that debate. Is SEO dead?
Or SEO doomed.
That was the title, yeah. And I think a lot of what you just mentioned and talked about came out in that very heated debate.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. It's amazing that the passion that people have, and I think that's why, if anything, that there was proof that SEO isn't doomed was the sheer passion of the people involved in the debate. The name might change, the practices might change, and I think actually, as long as there's people searching for things online, there's going to be a need to understand how the search engines work. I don't think that's going to drastically shift or change. But the fact that you can get a room full of 300 people turning up to an event. Everyone's got an opinion, everyone's prepared to share that opinion, and people are prepared to kind of confront people who they disagree with on that.
Mm.
I think it's a really good sign of the health and vigour of digital marketing, and actually it's what makes it enjoyable to be involved. The fact is anyone can turn up to an event like that and share their opinion, or they can set up a blog and say why they disagree with someone, or produce a podcast and kind of challenge the status quo. And I think that's really exciting, and it's part of the reason I enjoy being part of this community.
Mm.
And the next, I kind of touched on this a bit there, talking about one of the takeaways, but that was that you need to kind of learn outside the discipline as well. Now, a good example of that, one of the best received presentations of the day, and I'll add a link into the show notes to this, was by Dr. Harry Brignall, talking about dark patterns. And
I really enjoyed that.
Far and away, probably one of the most popular presentations of the day.
I've spotted several since that talk.
Ah, yeah, and dark patterns are the kind of, you get black hat SEO, where people are trying to do something a little bit deceivous, but no one ever talks about black hat design or black hat conversion rate optimization, as it were, where people are deliberately trying to do things to trick you or, make a mistake. So kind of an example that Harry used in the presentation was, like, for example, a major UK online electronics retailer, if you add an iPad to your basket, they also add an iPad case. And you have to opt out of buying that case, or a major airline who make it very difficult in the options to opt out of their built-in insurance. And so it's a really interesting presentation, and one that I recommend. But what was most, so I've actually seen a version of the presentation before when I went to an event called UX Brighton, but it really illustrated to me the need of anyone, no matter what your discipline is, no matter what your area of expertise is in internet marketing, that you need to be looking outside your area of expertise to learn the most. Mm. Because, the fact is I love going to the various search conferences. I love talking at them. I love attending them. But I don't really learn that much at them anymore. And, that's kind of a good thing, because if I was going along and learning a huge amount, I wouldn't be any good at my job. And I'm sure, it's the same for other people. If they're an expert in web design and they go to a web design conference, they're going to know most of the things already. And if they didn't, they wouldn't be that good at their job. So it's really illustrated to me the need to sometimes kind of to look outside your area of expertise. So, I'm kind of trying to understand more about the UX community, understand more about the web design community and how they talk to each other, even sort of understanding things like I was saying, psychology and that those kind of areas that I think are really important to understand. But similarly, if you're a web designer listening to this, understand how SEO works and how social media works, and just kind of try and look outside your comfort zone, really, because that's where you'll learn the most. And gaining that kind of multidisciplinary skill, I think, makes you a lot better at your job.
And the thing I really loved about that talk, that patterns talk, is this whole idea of looking for patterns.
Yes.
So what he has done, he has identified, I think it's about sort of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 different patterns of like conning people to buy stuff that they don't really want. And he's named them. And when you can do that, it just allows you to think in a different way.
Yeah.
It allows you to sort of think outside the box. So, I do a show with a guy called Nick Butler, and he's constantly going on about memes, this idea of patterns of thought, and looking for patterns and things. It's such a powerful thing. Find a pattern and give it a name. It just helps you to understand stuff.
Yeah, very much so. And, I'll definitely drop a link into that below, in the show notes. But yeah, very good talk, very well recommended. I think you can actually see the slides with the audio there as well, so well worth half an hour of your time to do that. Another takeaway that I took from another very popular session on the day was by a chap called Malcolm Coles, and he was talking about using inventive ways of targeting keywords that people were searching for at particular points in time.
Mm.
And it was just the kind of the real excitement and creativity that goes into a good internet marketing campaign is, I've done my free ebook on link building, Clockwork Pirate, and I talk a bit about the pirate spirit in that, the kind of, cheeky trying to suss things out and find, that kind of inventiveness. And it's really exciting to see that when someone does something amazing, that the thought that goes into that, and I find that really exciting. And actually, I think that's where, when I go to a conference or event, what I find most useful is those ones. It's probably not what you directly learn from what the person said, but it's the inventiveness that triggers from that as a consequence. Mm. So it's kind of quite often, oh, I'll see that and then go, okay, I sort of get that idea, and apply it in a slightly different way. And then something spirals off that, and it's that cascading effect that, you know, is really exciting. And it does seem to be that there's a huge amount of creativity going on in, you know, various internet marketing companies and, you know, departments. So yeah, look at what other people are doing, because you can fall into, you know, bad habits sometimes, or actually you just do things in the way that you've always done things before. And, you know, look at what other people are doing, and you don't need to copy them, because we're all smart, inventive, creative people, and that spark of seeing something different normally sets you off on a very different path, that's something completely original and unique. Mm. So yeah, well, you know that's something that's exciting, and definitely a pattern that I saw in a lot, what a lot of people were talking about as well. Another thing that really excited me about the Brighton SEO day was just the sheer quality of presentations, and how the way that people are getting so much better at presenting, mm. putting together presentations. Now, you know, me and Andy talk quite a lot about, you know, the craft of putting together PowerPoints and presentations. And, you know, we did an episode fairly recently about SlideShare with Chris Lee, where we were talking about, good presentations. And I just find it really exciting that, particularly in, it's once one person raises their game and does a really well-designed, really well-thought-out presentation, it's amazing that the impact that then has on the next event. So, you know, we've done 3 Brighton SEOs now, and each time the quality of the, you know, the presentations have always been amazing in terms of the overall experience, but in terms of the visuals in the PowerPoints, it's amazing, you know, how you kind of get this, you know, a little bit of healthy one-man-upship, where it's like, oh, well, that one was good last time, so I want to do better than that one. And it is...
Yeah, a little bit of healthy competition.
Yeah, it's all really good there. And I mean, I think that there's a... Yeah. If you haven't already seen the various books that are written by Gar Reynolds, who's kind of associated with Presentation Zen, is the name of his website, where he talks about the design of presentations and, you know, the construction of, you know, good PowerPoints and good keynote presentations, definitely recommend checking that out, because it's amazing. People like PowerPoint sort of become a dirty word, as it were. You know, people think of it as a bad thing.
Death by PowerPoint.
Yeah, exactly. You know, death by PowerPoint. It's a phrase that we're familiar with, but PowerPoint's just the tool, right? If there's a bad presentation that you have to sit through, that's not PowerPoint's fault. Mm. That's the fault of the person who put them together. And if your job is to kind of communicate to people using presentations and you have a bad presentation, it's not PowerPoint's fault, it's yours. You've not taken the time to understand how presentations can work. Mm. And you've not taken the time to think about how you can craft something that genuinely will create kind of an emotional impact on someone. And, you know, I mean, I'm by no means perfect. I've delivered plenty of bad presentations over the years. But
what, on purpose, Kelvin?
Well, no, not never on purpose. But where it's gone wrong, it's not been the software's fault. It's not PowerPoint's fault. It's mine for not taking the time to understand the audience, and not taking the time to really think about how my argument's structured. Mm. Or even little things like not rehearsing. It's amazing the difference. So I think that, you know, we're going to show, you know, in the next podcast episode, we're going to play Graham and Joe, who I work with, their presentation about the Advertising Standards Authority and some of the changes in the UK law. And they rehearse that. And, you know, I know how much, you know, better they were on the day because they did the rehearsal of it. And the same goes for, you know, most presentations. Run through it a couple of times, because you'll suddenly realise, oh, well, I'm repeating myself there, or actually I'm getting ahead of myself when I'm talking about this area, you know, and the order of your slides will change, the content of your slides will change. And, you know, it's in some ways the opposite of like a podcast, where I think being as live as possible is good because it has the spontaneity. I think with a presentation, because it's an actual performance, you're up there stood in front of people, rehearsing makes a huge amount of difference to the success or failure of a you know, delivery of a talk.
Just as a side thought, by the way, apologies of overuse of the word while Kelvin was talking there. Just as a side thought, I didn't see anyone using... I've completely forgotten the name of that amazing thing that lets you zoom in.
Oh, Prezi. Yeah.
Prezi.
Yeah, no,
I mean, I've only ever seen one person use it, but I reckon it has potential still.
Well, I love it, but every time I've seen someone try and use Prezi, it's gone wrong.
Really?
It's just...
Because it's an executable, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think the problem is that, you know... There was one problem we had on the day with the presentations where someone's video wouldn't play.
Ah.
And
well, it was very well concealed.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, and So his video wouldn't play, and then someone tweeted to him, he knows him, you know, first rule of presentation, never rely on children, animals, or, you know, YouTube videos. Yeah, YouTube videos.
I always do I use my ScreenFlow, and just to, yeah. I don't know how legal it is, but yeah. I take a local little copy of it, yeah. so it just runs locally on the yeah. machine.
Which is the way to do it, but I think that's fundamentally the problem with Prezi. Check it out if you've not seen it before, it's P-R-E-Z-I.
Yeah.
Potentially a really amazing way of presenting information, but I think better for that kind of embedding on your website than
possibly,
actually delivering a live presentation.
Or just use a very, very short one to show a specific point where yeah. Prezi would excel.
Yeah.
Something where you have to zoom in massively to something would be good.
Yeah, and I think Prezi works well if you're the kind of... you know, different people think in different ways, don't they? And if you're the kind of person when you're trying to explain an idea... draw a mind map. That's how you explain things. Prezi is a great way of kind of communicating that, whereas... I kind of more like to tell a story, if you know what I mean. So I like sequential things. So that's why I kind of quite like slide followed by slide followed by slide when I'm doing a presentation.
Yeah,
but if you're the kind of person who draws a mind map, then Prezi's, you know, a brilliant way of trying to communicate that to people when you're stood up on a stage. But I've seen it go wrong a few times.
Must be embarrassing.
The problem is, like, if a PowerPoint crashes, you carry on talking, the technician gets it back up to where it was before, and you continue where you were before. Prezi's that much more difficult to jump in to particular places because it's not sequential in the same way. So very difficult. But yeah, no, all in all, a very good day. And I mean, I'm hoping we're going to have more events of that like in the future. And hopefully in the coming weeks, we're going to try and include some of the elements of the talks in the podcast where appropriate and where it might fit quite well.
I'm looking forward to it.
So kind of hopefully that's some key takeaways there. So the industry's growing up. You'll learn more when you look outside your discipline. Ingenuity is what really makes good campaigns. And I'm really hugely impressed by the fact that people's presentation skills seem to be getting so much better.
Well, Kelvin, that's been terrific. Thank you so much. That concludes today's episode. We will be back again next week, or the next time you hear us, very shortly. And that's goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kelvin Newman.
All the best. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.